Let us now turn our attention to the scripture text for this morning. In some churches, they have the reputation for eating together often, potlucks, coffees, desserts, brunches, always food and refreshments, something I think we're all familiar with here at Tricon. And there's a good reason for that. The Gospels portray Jesus carrying out his ministry by sharing meals with others. He's also highly criticized for eating with the undesirables. In Luke, for example, we read about the banquet at the home of Levi the tax collector, the scene at Simon the Pharisee's where a woman washes Jesus' feet with her tears, another time when Jesus doesn't wash his hands, and once where he criticizes the host for not inviting the poor and the lame. Jesus himself hosts the feeding of the 5,000, invites himself to Zacchaeus' place, institutes the Last Supper, and breaks bread with the travelers to Emmaus after his resurrection. In today's reading, he's the guest of Mary and Martha. Jesus practiced an inclusive table fellowship that mirrored the reign of God and transformed all those around the table. So no wonder that in Act 2, also written by Luke, the text from which Bob preached last week, the church broke bread together at every opportunity with glad and generous hearts. So please open your hearts to the reading of God's words from Luke chapter 10, paragraphs 38 to 42. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her."
If I have a sense of things as we go through the service, I'm imagining that your body memory is telling you, gosh, we were already done, I think, just 2 minutes ago, ready to go out, and yet now there's a sermon to listen to. Let us be in prayer together. Oh God, you know us best of all. And in these moments of reflection on your scripture, grant to us a presence of mind, body, and spirit, that all that you are saying to us will come through by the grace that is active through Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've always had sympathy for Martha. Yeah? Others of you, particularly the women out there, are saying, yeah, we get it. Because Martha knew that it takes time. It takes time to set the table and to reach out to others. Martha knew that. Hospitality takes time, time for preparation, time for implementation. Hospitality takes time. And as a first century Middle Eastern matriarch, the responsibility for such occasions would have fallen squarely on Martha's shoulders that day. She was needing to attend to a million details. And in a different time than our own, she had to make sure that the house was clean and welcoming. She needed to be sure that there was bread and vegetables, a meal prepared from scratch, from grains and the garden. If there was going to be meat at that meal, then it was to her to make sure that the animal was slaughtered and prepared, cooked, outdoors over an open fire. Martha was in charge of that. And so when Martha snapped at Mary and Jesus, we understand. She'd been running out of time. And she was filling up with worry. Because after all, it was her deepest desire to have special time with Jesus, to connect with her guest. And all of these other matters were crowding in and taking her away from that. I've wondered if it might have made a difference for Martha if she had had the modern conveniences that you and I enjoy, like the utilities, electricity for one, appliances. Wouldn't that have made this whole occasion go differently? She certainly could have made use, I think, of an open floor plan, don't you? In which the kitchen was right there, open to the living room, and with an island. Wouldn't that have made a difference? I thought about that, and then I remembered myself and others, and I thought, well, even with all of these amenities, we get all tied up and busy, overburdened and overwhelmed with having guests over, just like she did. I remember hearing of a mom and dad who were hosting Thanksgiving, and they were really busy trying to set the table and prepare for the guests. They needed someone to say grace. It was one of those details that had gotten forgotten. And so they turned to their son, who was, you know, about 12 or so, and they enlisted him to offer the grace at the table. And nervously, he says, "But what shall I say?" "Oh, just say what you've heard us say." And so while all the guests were there at the table, cloth, fine china, all of that, he prayed, "Dear Lord, why did we invite all these people to dinner?" Amen. He did just what they asked. But a church missionary once observed, "It is ironic that the more affluent we become, the more we have, the less hospitable we are. We are always so busy. Martha, Martha. Yes, it takes time to set the table and to reach out to others. On communion Sundays, for example, it takes more attention to set the table. The deacons of the church are called upon to do more than usual, to prepare the meal and to set the table themselves. And we are blessed here at Tricon to have a volunteer, a steady, faithful volunteer who bakes the bread for us to share with one another. It takes time for that kind of hospitality. You know, it also takes time to set the table for mission and for service. How many of us realize that here at Tricon, our staff, our committees, our leaders of all kinds, volunteers, do planning in order for us to be able to participate in actions of social justice, in events, and in volunteering, like the crop walk, like telling us more about where our offerings go, helping us to understand that, and volunteering, putting it on our schedules for caring connection. It's all this preparation and publicity so that you and I can connect with each other It takes time. I've also always appreciated Mary, because she knew that it takes even more time to sit around that table with others, right? That once it's set, and once you're there, you need to stay put long enough in order to share in the give and take of conversation, to get to know the ones who are seated there with you, to share in the holiness of that time. We have to listen to and converse with one another the stories of the stranger at our table, the stories of those that are different from us, as well as our own stories. It takes time to hear those. They deserve to be heard. And so it was while Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus in dialogue with him about life and faith that Mary connected to him, connected to herself, and connected to God, the very thing that Martha herself deeply desired, time with him. This encounter was an example of relational ministry. You've probably heard that term because Bob wrote about it in his October newsletter under the pastoral perspective, that what Tricon is about in our vision of nurturing community and of honoring God in service and in mission, what that really is about is relationships. We're reaching out in relational ministry. And the experience that Mary had with Jesus was also one of koinonia. You recall hearing that word from last Sunday. Bob preached from the book of Acts and the early church, the account of how they lived out their faith. So to repeat, koinonia is a Greek word, and it can be translated in multiple ways as community, as fellowship, participation, sharing, even communion. For our forebears in the faith from Acts chapter 2, communion was not an experience that was held just one Sunday a month, elongating the worship service. No, communion was beyond worship service. It was the act of sharing at their home tables, too. So it was about potlucks. And it was about how they shared their resources with those in need among their own fellowship. You could say that it was about budget. And koinonia was also experienced through those projects of mission and service as they were spreading that story of Jesus to others. So as busy as the church was, like Martha, the church in Acts took the time to set the table and to sit at the table in relational ministry, in koinonia. This story reminds us, Jesus reminds us that all of us, reminds all of us that we have time. We have time around the table if we choose it. We can experience the connections with others that we say we crave. And so in this church here in fall, we have an opportunity as part of our stewardship emphasis to attend parties, to gather around the table. And this isn't just a new slick way to get you to write out a pledge card. No, this is being the church. It's taking time to gather in circles with each other and talk about what you most value, and how on a daily, regular basis as one family together, we will embark on mission and ministry. The social, spiritual, and missional connection that we all say that we want, it can actually happen this fall. I also remember one of the fun Voyager activities of last year. The fifth and sixth graders, we call them our Voyagers. And one of their mission projects was to go to the Commons in Lincoln in the assisted living. There's an activities director there who does activities with the residents. And so our fifth and sixth graders, it was the girls only this time, not because we excluded, it just happened to fall that way. And those that were about in their 80s all sat down at the same table. The activities director had prepared the way for us. She had paper mache stuff, glue, and glitter, and she had wooden ornaments and paints and paintbrushes. She'd done everything, ribbons, doodads, and there was music playing in the background. But I noticed that it wasn't long before that music was drowned out by all the laughing and all the conversation that was going on between the generations around that table. Mission that connects. A missionary in Honduras, Joetta Handrich was her name. She experienced a new and different kind of hospitality while she was there, among people who had so very little compared to herself. She stayed in the home of Gonzalo and Lillian Alemán. This couple lived with their six children in a two-bedroom house, and they had three beds. They gave one of them to her during her stay that she could have all by herself and made do with the rest. They generously shared of their limited food, not only with her at their table, but with guests who would drop by unexpectedly. And amid their busy lives, because their lives were very busy too, they made room for her strange ways and her questions about culture. She decided that sitting with them and being a guest at their table, sharing their stories, their dreams, their struggles, made them one. And it was as essential to her as food and shelter. Around the table with Jesus, there is time. There's enough time. There's plenty of time. Let us enjoy the time with him, with each other, with our very selves at this communion table.